Okay, we will now convene the February 8, 2011 special magistrate proceeding for the city of Daytona Beach. With all those representatives for the city of Daytona Beach who have testified over the following proceedings, please step forward and be sworn.
I solemnly swear to the testimony you're about to provide, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
I have reviewed the minutes of the January 11, 2011 meeting and the December 14, 2010 meeting and have approved both of them. With that, we will proceed to this morning's business. And the first order of business is going to be Captain's Taverns Riverfront Grill, appeal of denial of Bike Week Executive Committee. The respondent, please step forward.
Colleen Miles on behalf of the city.
Kevin Killian on behalf of the task force. Mr. Vakelji, it's the same issue we've had for the last 3 years. There's just a 10-foot difference in the right-of-way.
Right. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Has this been working out?
Oh, yeah.
Has the respondent been doing what we asked them to do?
They're going to be securing different officers this year for the security of crossing back and forth, and they're going to do two crosswalks instead of the previous one, is what I understood.
And with that understanding, I will go ahead and grant the respondent's appeal in order that he be permitted to participate in the Bike Week activities.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right, returning to our agenda, first case we have is 615 White Street, Kevin Molzon, Berlin Review. Anyone here for the respondent?
Kevin Molzon. Yes, I do.
All right, as I understand it, the lien is the $250 administrative fine. And what would be the basis for me to consider? Why am I reviewing it?
The fine is for failure to take corrective action to get an occupational license for the rental property. I had a deadline of October 6th, and I took all the corrective action before October 6th, so I don't understand why I'm being fined.
Inspector? He was not approved for the license until November 16th. It was after the fine was imposed on October 16th.
What was the cause of the delay?
Him not calling for another reinspection and correcting the GFI issues. He needed the license permit, licensed electrician to do the work.
Okay.
I had the work done October 4th. My deadline was October 6th. The work was completed, and they were notified.
And who was notified?
Both the permit and licensing division and Barbara Collins of Code Enforcement. I phoned her.
Well, did you call them out for an inspection then prior to the compliance date?
Yes, but I was denied a reinspection.
Because?
I have it written down here. Can I read what I've written? I was facing an October 6th deadline to get an occupational license for my rental property at 615 White Street. I paid for the license and inspection on September 13th.
Paid for what license?
The occupational license.
It's for when now again?
September 13th. The inspection was done on September 16th. The only violation found was the lack of an electrical outlet in each bathroom. Note, no one has been able to explain to me why no outlet in the bathroom is a violation of anything, because it's not a violation in a Section 8 inspection. But I corrected the alleged violation anyway on October 4th. Parks Electric installed new outlets and bathrooms and completed the job, $254.49, including permit fee. I appeared in person that afternoon at City Hall, Permit and Licensing Division, and informed them I had taken the necessary corrective action. I was told that a reinspection was needed before I could receive my occupational license, so I immediately requested to reschedule this reinspection and was denied, beginning a month and a half long procedural impasse that was never resolved.
Why were you denied that reinspection?
I was told that my electrician must call in before a final reinspection could be done. I was adamant I wanted to speed up the process, but was told to check back, not to worry, in a couple days. So now it's Wednesday, October 6th, my deadline. I again took off work to appear at City Hall. No reinspection had been scheduled. I requested one again, and once again was told they couldn't schedule it. Faced with running out of time, I called Barbara Collins of Code Enforcement and told her that I had paid for the occupational license, I had the inspection done, I corrected the violation, but I still haven't received the actual license, and that I was getting the runaround at the Permit and Licensing Department. She recommended talking to Suzette Meeks of that department and gave me her phone number, saying that she should be able to make it happen. I left messages on Suzette Meeks' phone on Thursday and Friday, neither of which were returned. On Tuesday, October 12th, I appeared in person once again at City Hall, met with Suzette Meeks to request my reinspection for the third time. She said that the electrician hadn't called in yet. I said, I can't believe that the fate of my occupational license lies in the hands of a disinterested third party, an electrician, who doesn't share my sense of urgency and can bring this entire procedure to a screeching halt and keep it at a standstill despite anything I say or do showing up in person. Here's his phone number, I said. Why don't you call him right now? Suzette Meeks called Parks Electrics from her desk right in front of me. Talking to them might get the ball rolling, I thought. I said, thank you. When can I expect my occupational license? She said it would come in the mail. Instead, 2 days later, I received in the mail the letter stating that I had been fined $250 for noncompliance. The following week, I appeared again at City Hall. Suzette Meeks was not in. A male inspector asked me what I needed. I told him I would like to request a reinspection for the fourth time, so I can get my occupational license for my rental property. Upon looking at his computer screen, he told me the familiar, your electrician hasn't called in yet. I told him that was old news and that Suzette Meeks had already called Parks Electrics the previous week and that the lady at the desk beside him was a witness. She nodded her head. I told him I was possibly being fined $250 by code enforcement, and his response to me, and I quote, don't come bitching to me. Not exactly the words I expected to hear from a public servant. He even said it twice. I walked out. I could see it was no use at this point. I continued to check my mail 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, somewhere around November 12th or 13th, my actual occupational license finally arrived. And here's the kicker, the final reinspection was never done. The one thing that supposedly kept me from getting my license in the first place. It was either forgotten or waived. I don't know why. Maybe the department was worried that their incompetence in this matter was becoming all too apparent, or maybe they felt guilty that I had appeared in person at their counter 4 or 5 times with nothing to show for my efforts. Either way, I wasted a lot of time, phone calls, and visits to City Hall. My wife thinks you should pay me $250 for all the aggravation. If they just would have given me the license on October 4th when I asked for it, all of this could have been avoided. The bottom line is that I took the required corrective action before the deadline of October 6th. The fact that the occupational license wasn't issued until November 12th was beyond my control. The letter states that I'm being fined for failure to take the required corrective action to achieve compliance. But I did take action. One, when I paid for the license, September 13th. Two, when I had the inspection, September 16th. Three, when I corrected the violation, October 4th. Four, when I notified permit and licensing, October 4th and 6th. Five, when I phoned Barbara Collins of Code Enforcement, October 6th. And here's a question. If I wasn't in compliance on October 6th, what day did I become in compliance, and what corrective action did I take that day?
What's that, City?
I disagree with the waiver of the fine. This case started back in April. He didn't even apply till September.
I have till October 6th. I paid for it in September.
That was because it came to code board. You had till October 6th. I sent you a notice of violation. Bonnie Roberts signed for it on April 8th. You did not communicate with me. You never came to any of the code board hearings. I did not hear about your dilemma until after the fine was imposed about your permit and not being able to get a license. You did not contact me until after the...
No, October 6th, I phoned you.
So you phoned on the day, the last day that you had to come into compliance?
I had nowhere else to turn. I thought I would be in compliance. I thought I was going to get my license.
You thought you were in... When did you ask for your reinspection? October 4th?
Yes. But I asked at permit and licensing. If I have to ask a code enforcement...
You're too high and mighty. Let me just point something out here. It doesn't help when you wait until the last minute to take care of business. So, you know, I can appreciate the fact that you want to sit there and explain everything, and you can even enjoy your indignation for the short time. But at the same time, let's be cognizant of the fact, and I'm the worst procrastinator in the world, so I'm probably repeating something my wife tells me every morning. When you wait till the last minute, stuff happens. That's all I can say. Now, that having been said, it sounded as though you did do everything you could to come into compliance, albeit at the last possible moment. All right, hang on one more second. Anything else that anyone from the city wants
to
say?
Yes, I know.
Yes. Glawanda Davis, I'm the customer service manager for permits and licensing. I just needed to clarify the difference in the process for the occupational license. Although there is an inspection, it's done by several different inspectors within our department. Once he was required to pull a state-certified electrical permit, it needed to be re-inspected by an electrical inspector. So he needed to finalize his building permit before we could clear his occupational license. So when he was in our office on October 6th asking for a re-inspection for his license, he was denied because his electrical permit was not finaled by our electrical inspector. And it has to be scheduled 24 hours prior to. So even if he requested a final inspection by his electrician on the 6th, it would not have been done until the 7th. And then his license would have been canceled out and issued to him at that time. So that's the discrepancy in the inspection process.
All right. Anything else anyone wants to say? Well, one thing I can't say after having heard all this is that you didn't make the effort, albeit perhaps late. So therefore, I'm going to go ahead and vacate the lien and cancel the fine. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
In the future, if you have any questions about the process or what have you, all I can say is get in touch with the people and say we're what? Case number 204 Haines Street, Bethune Cookman College Incorporated.
Good morning, sir.
Your name?
James Stowers, Cobb Cole, here on behalf of Bethune-Cookman University. We've been in touch with Mr. Sykes for quite some time. I've spoken with Mr. Jackson as well, and we've come to a resolution, hopefully, with all due respect, so I'll defer to Mr.
Resolution?
Sykes.
What's the resolution?
We're in consideration of the fact that Bethune-Cookman demolished a property that we needed to be demoed. Came to a resolve that we wanted to consolidate all the liens and reduce it down to $1,750 for all four liens.
Any is that, and then you pay within 30 days?
30 days, yes.
So the resolution I'm hearing is that Bethune Cookman has taken some action, apparently demolished something, and that two of you are suggesting that I consolidate case lien reviews 2, 3, 4, and 5, combine all the liens that we're talking about, reduce it down to $1,750, and that's to be paid within 30 days.
Yes.
Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Based on the information provided by the respondent and the report from the city, first off, I'll go ahead and order that the lien review cases 2, 3, 4, and 5, all of which are against the Bethune-Cookman Power, should be consolidated. I will go ahead and order that all of the liens in cases 2, 3, 4, and 5 be reduced to the total sum of $1,750. And as is typical around here, you have 30 days in which to pay that. If you need additional time, please let us know. Because if you don't pay within 30 days, it automatically reverts back to what's here already. So you don't want to lose sight of that. All right. Is that it? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Halifax Reclamation Incorporated and Robert Plank. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Have a seat for one more second. I had another lien review that he snuck in. I apologize. Lisa McCarthy.
Good morning, I'm Lisa McCarthy. I'm here about 322 Ridgewood Avenue.
The city is asking for 10%.
10%, $280. Is that a lot better? $2,800 we need to keep talking?
A little bit more. A little bit more. It's Gillett. I know. Five?
Your pitch.
I spent thousands of dollars fixing this house up. I didn't destroy the house. The tenants that were in there destroyed it. Yeah, I mean, the house looks beautiful now. John was just in it. It's really nice. I mean, I spent thousands of it. And this last review, when this point started, I would have came in and asked for another extension. I was this close to being done.
I guess what you're telling me is that the lady put some serious effort into the house, put some serious money into the house, so now the city's more than satisfied with the outcome?
Yes.
All right, I'll reduce the fine to the sum of $100. It's to be paid within 30 days. If not paid within 30 days, it automatically reverts back to the $2,800. If you need additional time with regard to that, talk to the city's attorney, Mr. Jackson.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. It didn't be abrupt, but
no, that's good. I'm good. Yeah. Where do you pay the fine?
I'll send you an invoice.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I have another case too.
So much for saving your time. Yeah. Halifax Reclamation Incorporated, Robert Plank.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm not sure. You might as well swear him in, though.
Okay, what are we here on? North property, south property?
North property.
North property.
South property was continued last month to the March docket. Mr. Clank had put most of his efforts onto the south property to try and bring that into compliance. The inspector has indicated that he has made substantial progress toward that end. And the intent is to get the south property into compliance, make certain applications with the city, and then to get that property in compliance, and then work on the north property. So the success of the south property is, you know, a large part and parcel of the plan to rectify the problem with the north property. We had discussed last time that we were probably going to need to continue the determination of compliance or non-compliance on the north property, which is why we're here today. And Your Honor indicated we would just deal with that at today's docket as opposed to last month's docket. Last month's docket, this case or series of cases was not on the docket. It was determined best to just wait till it's properly up for consideration. So we would request a continuance. I have not spoken to Mr. Jackson, but I don't believe that he would object to the same. We had hoped to have more progress on the south property. However, Mr. Clank had a stroke and had been in the hospital for several days last week, I'm told, and so it's delayed him a little bit.
I don't have any problem with that, comparing everything. I guess I have a question. I think one of the things you were asking the last time we were before the magistrate was, or at least what they were pursuing, Mr. Clank, was the possible obtaining of the neighboring property and had that still tied up, and that's part of, I think, the ultimate solution, or at least one of the ultimate solutions on resolving the north property. And has there been any progress with that, or is that happening, or are we going a new direction?
It's still in the works.
The property that he's discussing acquiring apparently is in a bankrupt proceeding up in either North Carolina or South Carolina. I have not been involved in that discussion in the past several months, so it's in the mix, but I don't believe that's in the active mix.
Okay.
If I have to be perfectly candid.
Because I believe that's principally what we were looking at in terms of the whole basis of this delay is in anticipation of retaining additional property and going another direction. If it's merely to clean up, I guess we can schedule a date to have an adversary.
I don't think we're at that point yet because we do have, Mr. Clank has acquired other property in that general vicinity that's about a block away that we're hoping could be converted to inside storage also. But quite honestly, he's tied up with resources, and number one, the economy's down, and number two, he's committing a lot of resources cleaning up the south property. So,
if I could say this, I know that the delay is irregular. This is something we normally would do as far as for a finding of compliance or non-compliance. However, at the same time, I recognize that the reality of the overall project, it is very large, and everything that we've seen up to this point, I believe we've seen Mr. Clink moving forward and with this being moving forward in good faith, and as for all parts of the project, so I don't have any problem with a continued delay on the finding amount of compliance or compliance as to the north property. So if we want to continue that, I don't have any problem.
I would go 3 months out, Your Honor, because we have to go through the licensing process on the south property. And we had hoped that was going to be started by now, but quite frankly, Mr. Clank's health took a downturn. And he was not able to complete what he had ordinarily contemplated.
So what am I going to be seeing between now and 3 months from now?
You're going to be seeing us next month on the south property.
Hopefully
we will be in compliance on the south property and have pending applicants.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's the game plan.
And that's half the effort here? More than
half the effort. Yeah, I'll remind Mr. McKelvey that the south property is probably what triggers more so than anything else this time around with Mr. Clank what the neighbor complaints as related to that its relationship to the residential community.
All right. So we finish off the south and start working on the north.
Yes. We'll kind of put us back where we've been
right.
for a number of years.
Okay. Well, we're getting there, Your Honor.
That's all that matters. All right, then I will continue the determination of compliance or non-compliance in this matter to our May 10, 2011 meeting. All right, gentlemen, good luck.
Have a great day.
Hope you're feeling better, Mr. Klein.
Thanks, Dr.
Good luck to you. Case number 2 is in compliance. Case number 3, Lisa McCarthy.
I thought I was getting an extension.
Yep, you're a problem. Hold on, you are.
We are asking for an amendment to this. So the letter's cut off in March. Formed re-inspection on the property yesterday afternoon, and there has been very good progress. They are not there yet. I pointed out to Ms. McCarthy all the things that remain to be corrected. These are not the pictures.
That's not my house.
She tells me that they will be corrected by the March cutoff.
Okay. Hopefully I will have. The weather has not. I have outside painting and stuff to do, and the weather has not been cooperating with outside work. So I'm sure I'll have a lot more. That's still not my house. I'm sure I'll still have a lot more progress done by the next meeting.
6:30. Thank you.
But, I'm not saying I might not need one more extension after that. But my goal is to have it done.
Same touch with the inspector.
I do. I call him all the time.
There's some testimony to respond and report from our inspector. I will go ahead and amend our pending order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 2, 2011. That's when she's supposed to be in compliance.
March 2nd? That's only a couple of weeks away.
That's not very far away.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work.
What time were you talking about giving her now?
March 2nd is too close.
Obviously,
you
just can't make it
by March 2nd. No, I own Barney's Leather on top of everything else, and I got bike week coming up. So I really need to, business is really bad. I need to kind of focus on that. That's kind of hard to do. I didn't realize, I thought it would be the end of March.
Are you satisfied with the effort so far?
Yes, I am.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and allow you until April 6, 2011 to come into compliance.
Perfect.
Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
That's all pictures. That's not. That's fixed.
All right. April 6th. Okay. On April 6th, we're expecting
to
be done.
Yeah, that should be done by then. Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Case number 4, Stamenko and Dusenka Angelo. Anyone here for the respondent? We'll say the city.
She's on her way now.
They've done a lot of work on the property. They're still not done. I'd like to give them until the next cutoff, and then a fine of $100 a day if they don't do it.
Next cutoff is March 2nd. So is that what you had in mind?
Yep. It is a fourplex.
So it's multifamily, residential, commercial, less than $500,000?
Yes.
All right. Then I will go ahead and allow the respondent until March 2,
2011 come in compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, where the maximum amount of the fine has reached the sum of $20,000.
Thank you. Very good.
Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7, D.R. Horton Incorporated, Jacksonville.
Good morning, Rick Webster, representing D.R. Horton.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Madam Inspector, why am I fining D.R. Horton Jackson?
Well, actually, today we're looking to amend. They have made good progress, and the Homeowners Association that originally brought the complaint about the retaining wall problem is happy with the progress that's being made. I would like to find out from D.R. Horton and Mr. Webster time frame before I recommend a compliance date. So,
Mr. Webster, how much longer do you think it would take to come to compliance on this matter?
30 days is what we're requesting. We did have an original 30 days, understand that, and it expired. We do have now a signed agreement with all parties that was executed on the 26th of January. And so that part has been done. All we're doing now is trying to firm up the exact time frame within the next few weeks and a couple of weeks or so, and then the method of fix, which we're working on as well. And I'm actually working on that personally myself. So we're just asking for a 30-day extension, and we'll have this matter resolved.
Madam Inspector, 30 days pushes me past my next cutoff. Is that a problem to you?
We're talking about 30 days total completion.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, that means the next compliance date is April 6, 2011. All right.
Sounds good.
All right, appreciate
it. Based on the report of our respondent, as well as the inspector, I will go ahead and amend our pending order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2011, to compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay. Good luck to you.
Great. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. All right, next case, Surfside Villas Condominium Association Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Anyone here for the city?
The gate, the fence was damaged. It's been repaired as of this morning at 7:30.
So we're now in compliance?
We're now in compliance.
Very good.
Thank you.
Case number 9, Bobby Lee Birch Jr., Bobby Lee Birch, and Marquise Birch, husband and wife.
John Birch.
And Mr. Birch, I recognize the last name, of course, but what's your affiliation with all these folks that are listed here?
1 of the 12.
Okay. Then you have authority to speak on behalf of the respondent, I take it?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I find the respondents in non-compliance. Now let me shift gears over here, Mr. Inspector. How long do you think it would take for the respondents to come into compliance?
They need to go and obtain some permits and some inspections. So, next cutoff, and I know it's more
than March. Next cutoff for what? The permits?
For the permits, yes. I know it's...
Is this the current state of the house that I'm looking at right now?
Actually, yeah. That's it.
Looks like a long way to go in a short amount of time, but whatever.
It's been like that for a while.
Pardon?
It's been like that for a while.
All right. And in order to get these permits, is he going to have to bring in any third parties? Like electricians or plumbers or anything like that?
1 moment.
Sure.
they're doing the work without permits.
I think I think the inspector's point at this stage, and I know this, and I'm not sure if you may have a different perspective, but I think the inspector's point at this stage is that the violation that he's seeking to remedy is them doing the work itself without the permits. So once they obtain the permits to get the inspections done, at this stage, that's what you're.
How many permits is he going to require?
I've received the electrical parts.
Okay. I haven't been inside. It's just exterior. So he just needs a contract, a license contractor, to undo what's been done and correct that, and also have his inspections.
Okay, but first off, what he's been cited for is working without permits.
Correct.
Once he gets the permits, he's in compliance.
Yes.
All right, and I just can't tell just from eyeballing that picture how many permits he's looking to, he's going to have, or whether the kind of permits he's going to be able to obtain himself, or he's going to have to go out and hire others to get them. And the only reason I keep asking these questions is today's the 8th.
Right.
I don't know how many days are in February this year, but it looks like he got about 24 days left for the next cutoff.
Right.
And so, is he going to be able to get these permits in 24 days?
Well, actually,
not that it's an unreasonable request, and we'll have to consider more time.
Sure.
You can ask for more time, but the actual owner is out of state, and I've had no contact. I've been communicating with this family member here, and I'm not sure April 6th is going to come to a resolve. If we're going to have a resolution by April 6th. He hasn't called. He hasn't contacted me at all.
Okay.
So, communication with this gentleman.
All right. Well, Mr. Birch, now I'm hearing negative things. Let's hear from you. How long do you think it's going to take to obtain whatever, apparently, what you've been cited for, what the gang has been cited for, is working without permits?
Yes, sir. This is a family home, and if you give me 30 days, Bobby will be, like I say, I'm a subcontractor, but I work for a contractor who will pull my permit if I need it. I'm only doing the stucco. Matter of fact, on the middle of the wire, it's an eyesore. We didn't have no insurance when the house caught fire. Caught a fire in Dad's room. Dad been up for about 60 years. Caught a fire on that room to the right where the pink is at. I put a little block wall up there to sit out. The gate was all up permits. The side right there where that is where Daddy had put all them bricks in the night cabin. So I decided to get a bobcat and take it to the side over there because that's where I was going to put a porch. That's on the right side. I'm going to do a concrete porch. So instead of me getting a dumpster, I just took all the blocks came from Daddy to have flower bed, and he was a concrete guy. So I cleaned the backyard up on the left side. So I was going to put a porch on the right side, right there where you at, right there. I was going to get some dirt, and I was going to pour concrete on top of that. That's the old house. And I'll spend it up for the longest. So if you give me 30 days, it is a family issue. And I don't want to get involved in it, but it's a baby mess. So I thought that maybe one of my sisters would have showed up, someone who handles the hands on. And they usually handle the paperwork. So I'm just surprised that Bobby didn't call. Because I kept telling him I'm still going to tell the truth. It's a mess.
Well, you're the only one I have in front of me, so you're the only one I can count on.
Here. I live there, too. Here's where I live.
And if you tell me within 30 days you'll have it done, I'll take you at your word.
I'm going to do it in 30 days.
All right. 30 days goes past our cutoff, so you're going to get a little bit of a bonus here. I'll give the respondent until April 6th to come into compliance, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fines up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, since you are a subcontractor and you work for a general contractor, it sounds like you probably know that, I don't even know what kind of permits you have yet. So please contact the city, and I want to make sure that we're all on the same page here before you go get stuff you don't even need and isn't going to satisfy it, or we just get all messed up here. So just stay in touch with the inspector, find out what you need, and I'm looking at you to take care of it. I don't know these other people.
Oh, I love it.
I've seen these other people.
I'm going to take care of it because I saw it. If my mother would have been living, she told me to fix the house. And I started from the back instead of starting from the front. I'll be honest with you, the back looks decent. I got to move that Winnebago. But the back I done. So if I would have, if you give me, like you say, to that time, I'm going to do it because my mother told me to do it.
Case number 10, Ralph A. and Rena Thomas Smith, reserving life estates, and Melanie Davis Thomas. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Rena Thomas Smith. And Ralph A. Smith is dead. And I don't know where Melody Davis Thomas is, because she won't even talk to me on the phone. But number one is.
Ma'am, could you hold on just one
minute? I'm Donna Cooper. I'm Ralph Smith's sister.
Can you both raise your right hand, please? Is on the special testimony about
the right? Ladies, do we agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation? That you had outside storage and dilapidated fencing?
Well, number one is, if I would have got the first letter, I would have already been here. I live at 356 Elworth Street. I never live at 549 Kendall Street. When I married Ralph Smith, he lived with me at 356 Elworth Street. So I never got no letter, and that's why I didn't know. I got the letter on Friday. I called on Friday.
Well, I'm not yelling at you.
And told the guy that
I talked. Yeah. I just want to know, do we agree that we had outside storage and dilapidated fencing?
Well, I see. I went by there and I seen it, yes.
Okay, good enough. All right, then I find the respondent non-compliance. Mm-hmm. Mr. Inspector, how long is it going to take for the respondents to come into compliance?
We're willing to allow to be able to come.
Okay. And are they clear on what needs to be done between now and April?
Yesterday was the first time that I actually had verbal contact with anybody about the property.
Yes.
I don't see them having a problem taking care of this. Okay. The site of the violation, the inside of the property is a different story. But the site of the violation is the fencing and the outside storage.
Okay.
May I ask a question, please? When Ms. Smith married my brother, this lady, Melanie Thomas' mother, took my brother, a sick man, and had him to draw these papers up the way he has them drawn up. This is how the Thomas got involved. So now they're part owners, so shouldn't they be partially be responsible for kept the upkeep of this place?
Yeah, they should, but the bad news is that's between y'all. As far as the city's concerned, anyone who has an interest in the property is responsible for maintaining it. And I can see from looking at this, you have life estates here, you have a joint tenancy with rights of survivorship. I don't want to start talking like a lawyer here, but I can see where you have multiple folks with bits and pieces of the title and the ownership. And sure, they ought to be responsible.
That's right.
Unfortunately, and I don't mean to be rude, but that's your problem. So I don't know what to tell you. Because anytime you have more and more people you have with an interest in the property, the more complicated everything gets from the ownership side.
Well, she says she has no interest in it, so what does she do? Just sign it over to the city?
Or anybody. I don't own it.
Well, I guess, are you Rena Thomas?
Yes, and I don't need it, because I got.
And Ralph is passed.
He's deceased.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't own it.
And Melanie Davis Thomas.
She would be the successor should she pass.
This is my point is, and I'm not here giving out legal advice, but just if you relinquish your interest,
yes,
and Ralph has already passed away, and I assume it falls into Melanie's lap.
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway, that's no legal opinion.
And we already know.
The city,
but I just don't want I never voted.
Okay. All right, anyway, so compliance by when then?
The April cutoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have an address with Melanie?
But could you send it up to her? Because I don't really.
Because we've tried to reach her mother. Her mother does not respond.
She won't talk.
Okay. Back to the back. We can call later on today.
Yes.
And I'll take all the information.
Yeah, and send it up to her
because
I don't
know
it.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondents to come into compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me tell you what I have a feeling here might be happening.
Mm-hmm.
If nobody does anything to bring this into compliance,
mm-hmm.
And if everybody disappears because they're all waiting for someone else to go deal with it, which happens,
mm-hmm.
and at some point somebody's going to wake up and there's going to be a lien against this property.
Fine.
They can have it.
If you don't care about that, that's your business. But let me just caution you that somebody ought to get the word to whoever it is y'all think is responsible for this, because everyone's just going to walk on it. It's one of these things where when somebody finally decides to get up and do something with it, they're going to find a lien on it. So, and this is the easiest fix right now. Right here, right now, is the easiest.
No, because she would never possess it.
Well,
she shouldn't have to fix it. This is Melanie's case, and we will work with her.
I have a loan.
Well, I've said all I can say, so good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Case number 11, Fred E. Allen. Anyone here for the respondent?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say this is it. Not compliant. Let's go. The rental license. So this is what, the administrative fine?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
But this is just non-compliance, right?
All right. Based not seeing a respondent, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent being non-compliance, and give the respondent until March 2, 2011, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of imposition of the administrative fine for failure to obtain a rental license. Case number 12, Ladoro Properties Incorporated. Ms. Van, could you please state your name?
Dorothy Woods.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And is this Woods?
Yes, Woods.
Okay. And your affiliation with Ladoro Properties Incorporated?
It's not incorporated. The name just remains that.
Okay.
It once was.
All right. And what's your association or affiliation with this property?
Secretary.
Pardon?
I started off being secretary, and I'm the only one who is available at this time to take care of the properties. However, I am quit claiming all of the properties to my son as of May. When he comes home, then he will be able to take care of these, because I'm not able. It has drained me financially, as well as I'm physically not able to take care of properties anymore.
Is this property occupied at present?
No.
Vandalized?
The tenants.
There are tenants in it?
The tenants were in it.
Were.
Yes. They'll tell me, you can't make me do so and so. And they know what my limits, my limitations are.
Did you evict them, or did they leave?
They left. They told me they were leaving as of January 15th. They did not leave until a couple of weeks after that, and they paid no rent to me whatsoever from November through. I asked yesterday of the code person, when I spoke to him on the phone, if I could board it up until my son comes, and that's what I would like to do. But I know that it's an eyesore. I don't appreciate having eyesores near me where I live, and I would not wish this on anyone, so I do have funds to clean up the yard and board up.
All right. What say the city?
Mr. Bukadza, yesterday was the first time I've had any verbal contact from a property owner. I've plenty of contact with the tenants, but yesterday was the first time that I spoke with Ms. Woods.
No, sir. Not correct. I don't want to go here I say, you say, but I called and I did ask you for an extension and left the message on your machine, and you returned the call back to me. And we agreed on a date, and that date I was not able to keep. And that was the extent of that.
That being said, she did ask if she could secure a property. I did say that she could secure a property, but securing property is not correcting the violation. Yes, the property is vacant at this time. So the portion of the violation, which is the operational license, that would be moved because it is vacant at this point. However, the other violation still exists.
I was able to do one thing to it before funds just disappeared, and I did fix the ceilings in the kitchen and in the bathroom, and that was all I was able to do.
Okay. Well, if you will secure the property to city standards, and that doesn't necessarily mean boarding it up. It just means making sure that the door is locked and the window is locked.
Right.
And sometimes it's cheaper to replace a window than it is to start putting, I mean, I'm assuming securing the house, it can be something less than boarding the whole thing up.
Yes.
So as long as the house is secure and you, you maintain the exterior, mm-hmm. try to reduce it from being an eyesore as much as you can, mm-hmm. then we can kind of work with you as far as time goes.
Well, thank you.
With the understanding that has to be brought into compliance.
Right. Right. I understand that.
All right. So, that having been said, if I have not already, I'm going to go ahead and find a respondent in noncompliance. First off, are we satisfied that we have a proper respondent here? I was a little unclear on that at the beginning of this.
I am. Office of the Corporation, I think, can be the case as the secretary, even though it's a defunct corporate, it's all corporation. And you also receive the rent?
Yes.
And when is it you think your son is going to be able to attend to this?
My son presently is in Jessup, Georgia, federal penitentiary, federal prison, that is. And he will be getting out, that's what he told me, May 1st. And if he gets out or not get out, I'm quit claiming them. Because I've handled this. And it's
down here to Daytona?
Yes, I have to pick him up. And I'll bring him back to Daytona, and he has to stay at my house.
Well, the reason I ask is because we have a meeting on May 10th, 2011. So my thought is that you're going to secure the property to city standards. You're going to maintain the exterior. It's not going to be rented to you.
Absolutely not.
Until it's brought into compliance. And then I was going to schedule your return here on May 10, 2011, for you and or your son.
Right.
To start talking about how much time you're going to need.
Right. I appreciate that.
So that sounds like a plan?
Right.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to secure the property to city standards by March 2, 2011,
mm-hmm.
or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. The exterior is to be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
The property is not to be rented, used, or otherwise occupied until it's in compliance. And we will schedule the determination of a compliance date. We will schedule that for our May 10, 2011 meeting.
Okay, I didn't understand you at one little place. I thought you said March, and then you said May. I don't understand what's...
Now on March 2nd, just to secure.
Oh, all right. I follow you.
Okay. So if you got to repair windows, if you got to have locks replaced, or if it's easier to just board it up, whatever you need to do.
Secure
by March 2nd. Because what we can't have happening is this becoming a police issue. Once it becomes a police issue, then it's out of our hands, and we have to start changing the program dramatically.
Well, as far as I am able to, without my power, I will take care of this.
Very good. All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you. And I think you know my son, Leonard.
Leonard Woods?
Lucas.
Okay. know your son.
Yeah, all right. I'll take care of it. But this is a different son. I've had health issues. And I guess when I did see...
Where the heck is Lenny?
At the Daytona State College. He's teaching. He and the other company party waves.
Braves halfback ever played football in Bush County? Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Case number 13. The Bank of New York Mellon, formerly known as the Bank of New York, is trustee for the Certificate Holders Alternative Loan Trust 2006 HY11. Mortgage Pass-Through Certificate Series 2006 HY11. Wow, you don't have the deed?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, anyone here for the respondent?
Are you here for the respondent?
No, I live there. This is new to me.
You live there? Come on up.
This is a user-friendly environment. State your name, please.
Sandra Watkins.
Watkins?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you raise your hand, please? Do you solemnly swear to tell somebody about the prize, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I'm assuming you live on the...
You've been dealing with my husband. Nothing has been fixed.
Oh, okay.
Some things are new. There is hot water in the bathroom, but there's still no hot water in the kitchen.
No heat.
Oh,
yeah, that's it. Okay. And your affiliation with this property is what now?
I live in there.
You live there. Are you a tenant?
Yes.
Okay. You actually have a lease with somebody?
Yes.
Who's the lease with?
Darren.
Please tell me it's not that thing I just read.
Darren Jaffrodi? Jaffrodi.
Okay. All right. As long as the city's satisfied that we've got the proper respondent, then I can move on. Is that the case?
I've cited both the bank and Mr. Jaffrodi.
Here's the problem with this. The title is, if the foreclosure and the certificate of title is issued to the bank. A month before the certificate of title was issued, the property owners deeded the property to Mr. Jaffrodi, so he has a warranty deed recorded, and then the certificate of title was recorded. So he, in the middle of foreclosure. The owner of record is the bank, but he's
in the...
Yeah.
Sounds like first recorded.
Well, I mean, if they've all been cited...
We noticed Mr.
I noticed him to be here. I didn't cite him as a respondent.
I did.
In your
and letter. He responded.
And then we figure out that determination.
And thanks.
Whether to add him.
Can you say you got a response from him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right on the back.
That's being cards on both.
Maybe you haven't spoken to him, though.
Yes, I have.
Right, what has he said?
Mr. Jaffrodi owns a few properties here in the city. I don't want to categorize him as one way or the other, but I generally have difficulty dealing with this particular property owner.
Okay.
That's about the nicest way.
Well, let's get him in here.
He was definitely well aware of the hearing, and he's chosen not to come.
As long as I don't have any due process considerations, that's all I care about. So
yeah,
I'm going to do it.
Respondent then for this matter, because he was copied on the notice.
So copied on what notice?
The notice of hearing and the notice of violation to be here. But since he was not owner of record according to the property appraiser's website, I figured you'd make the determination here whether or not to add him.
I think at this point, if he's showing us the holder of the warranty deed,
there's a deed. He's not showing anything except there was a deed recorded before the certificate of title, and he's been in contact with Mr. Stenson, and apparently he's treating the property like he's leasing it. So
here's the problem. this first violation, or this first notice, is one of two. One came directly after this notice with no water at all on the property. Since then, on 1/24/11, Mr. Drafuti himself went to utility billing and reinstated the water in his name.
Well, he's holding himself out as the owner. I say he had a mess to respond and then get him figured out. He believes it's otherwise.
So your city's asking me to. City's asking me for leave to amend to join Jabruti, whomever, as a party respondent based on the fact that you notified him of the violation, you notified him of this meeting, and he has obtained some sort of deed, so he's somewhere in the chain of title, regardless of what the status may be. All right, that's fine. And I'll go ahead and order that. Didn't get the hold of him. I think Jabruti was the first one.
Darren
Jabruti. All right, go ahead and order that Jabruti Ali Darren will be joined as a respondent to this matter. Now, that having been said, are you comfortable proceeding forward? Well, you got a notice of the meeting.
He did.
Yeah. Oh, for the hearing.
Well, I know you got notice. You already told me that. Are you comfortable going forward with the status as the way it is, or rather than see his name on the caption as a respondent and then proceed?
It was posted.
The property was posted.
Yes.
I'm fine going forward.
Yeah. Good enough. All right. Ms. Watkins, give me one moment. I don't mean to be rude. Alright, so I don't have a respondent in front of me. The city, compliance, what's the status?
Mr. McKelvey, I would say the next cutoff, yes, the next cutoff is unrealistic. However, like I said, have a somewhat history with Mr. Drafuti, and he's like, he's procrastinating. I think we should say the next cutoff to keep his feet to the fire. Keep him motivated to actually do something with this property because all of these violations still exist.
All right. Well, first off, based on our inspector's report, photographs that I've seen and what have you, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Our inspector is suggesting I should give him until March 2, 2011 to come into compliance. And we have Ms. Watkins here, who I'm sure would like to say something.
I just wanted to say those to... There are some new things. I didn't know he had those pictures.
Those from yesterday.
I didn't know that. That's why I'm here. But there is new problems.
There's new problems.
Plus old problems. Okay. It's gotten worse.
And is Mr. Jafruti, is this Jafruti person your landlord?
I've never met him. He's apparently my landlord, but I've never met him. I've had phone contact with him, and that's it.
Okay. And you are paying him rent to live in this place?
Yes. No, I'm holding it from him. I'm giving it to my mom. She's holding it. And he's not fixing it.
Right. Okay, well, we are joining Mr. Jafruti, whatever his last name is, as a party respondent. We are giving him.
I'm sorry, Mr. McDowell, just a clarification. Jafruti is the last name, I believe.
Yes, Abby and Darren Jafruti.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so then we have joined the gentleman as a respondent, and we are giving him until March 2, 2011 to come into compliance. Failing that, respondents would be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
We've been in contact with Mr. Jafruti in other matters, and he's responded. I've received calls from him before that.
I mean, do we have life safety issues in this place? I don't mean to throw this lady out on the street, but if the place shouldn't be occupied. Should I be talking about that?
No, it's not that extreme. However, right. I mean, the fact that there's no heat and it has been cold here last month or whatever, it's definitely uncomfortable. I wouldn't say it's like life safety.
Fair enough. Okay, well, we've given him until March 2, 2011 to come into compliance. Hope he does it. If not, then we'll be dealing with him some more.
Okay,
good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 14, Major 8 Daytona Corporation.
This is going to be in non-compliance. Next cutoff, I've had contact with the realtor, Denise Ortiz, which she states that she will have it in compliance by the next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2011 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the imposition fine for the administrative fine, imposition of the administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Thank you. Case number 15, Bright Beginnings Academy, LLC.
Good morning.
Bright Beginnings Academy. Go ahead. Your name, please.
Bill Lucia.
I'm Carly.
Yes, ma'am.
Are I suing you folks?
Hmm?
Are I suing you folks?
For what?
On behalf of Dale Cabaretta and Guardian Security?
I have no clue if you are.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I am. And the reason I mention it is if you don't want me to hear this, you can have this heard by the Code Enforcement Board. I'm ethically obligated and obligated by the rules here to let anyone know of any potential conflict I have. And your name is Lucia?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And I represent Guardian Security.
Okay.
They've been a client of mine for a long time, and I think there's a dispute over a service or a bill
security
or something.
Issue, yeah.
I can't remember what. And I think it's in county court. It's a minor matter, but nonetheless, I'm obligated to disclose that. So, do you want to proceed now, or would you rather this matter be referred to the Code Enforcement Board?
No, we can proceed now.
Then more. All right. You all right, Mr. Jackson?
Oh, yes. No
problem. Good enough. All right. Folks, you have been cited for no building, electrical, or plumbing permit. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to go into compliance?
I would say next cutoff.
Yeah. Okay, the next cutoff is March 2, 2011. So the inspector is saying that he thinks you ought to be able to get whatever permits you don't have already by now, Mark. You don't have now by March 2, 2011. What do you say?
Yes and no. We've already, I think this is a twofold issue.
Okay.
On 9/16, we did have to put a window in and we had to get a safety inspection for our electrical and put two exit signs in, which we went down, got the permits for that. It's been done. Brian Severton and Mark, the chief building official, have been over there. They signed off on it. We did get the occupancy permit for the downstairs. We did have a second issue that because we have a single-use tenant in there that we had to put a firewall up. We did then put the permit in for that, and that was submitted actually yesterday because we had to get plans. And we're just waiting for the permit right now. It's been signed off on as far as our HVAC and plumber, and it's with Mark right now for review.
Okay, so you're telling me it's either done or in the works, and you think it'll be done by March
2?
Now's the time to ask.
I would like to have till April because we do have to build a firewall along the corridor. I just want to have enough time to build it and make sure we get the
you'll need permits for that.
Which we've already submitted for that.
I would give it to them because I think there's more entitled to them than he thinks. I spoke to the building official, and there was complete renovations upstairs in the loft, and that's not supposed to be have any access.
And which it's all okay. Shut down. It's been shut down like
okay.
That. So.
And he's actually, I have to sign for a mechanical permit that he's going to need. That's for the AC and the ductwork, which wasn't cited for. Building permit upstairs, electrical permit upstairs, I think there's a little more.
Which has all been
okay.
Being taken
and
care of.
And the plumbing downstairs in the restrooms, exterior doors, and for the entrance.
The downstairs has been signed off on.
Okay.
That's completely done.
Just advising that he gets from Mark Criswell, the building official, because I think there's a little bit more, maybe something that he's might not known about.
All right, then I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Whenever you're talking commercial buildings, you're always talking multiple permits. If you run into any delays along the way, this is your best friend, so stay in touch with him.
Okay.
If he reports back that you had snags, then we'll consider extending.
Thank you.
We'll consider whatever extensions may be required. If you just disappear on us, then we'll bother you.
I got
you. So, again, stay in touch with the inspector, and he'll, and between the two of you, you'll figure it out.
Okay.
Right, good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Case number 16, Andres Goyanis II. And Natalia Williams.
That's in compliance January 7th. They just passed their second inspection.
Case number 17, Cheryl Carrigan.
January. I'm sorry, February.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Case number 17, Cheryl Carrigan.
My name's Bobby Anderson, Your Honor. That's my wife. Cheryl Anderson is actually for change.
Okay, Mr. Anderson, illegal parking and expired tag. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, upon the respondent being out of compliance, Mr. Inspector, how long should it take to come into compliance?
I'd say next cutoff. It's had long.
Can I just respond to that?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, so you're thinking by March 2, 2011, that'd be enough time for him?
Yes, it's been there over a year. There's been a time where it has moved.
Just a second.
Okay, relax. Sorry.
First off, are we talking about the boat?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right, good enough. Been there over a year.
Right, there's been one time
where...
That's correct.
All right, I understand. All right, go ahead, Mr. Anderson.
Okay. The boat has not been there over a year. It was docked at down the hatch... Boondocks or Atlantic Marine. It was there for seven months. I had to take it out of there just due to financial reasons. You know, with the economy the way it is, I'm in a construction field and I just haven't had the work to pay the $300 a month dock rent. So I brought it back to my property. Well, I tried to move it about a month ago, so I could come into compliance today. And when I moved it, one of the springs, as you can see, it's not a small boat. Well, see, those pictures there are way before I moved it. So I don't know why those are up there at this point.
That's a way of coming back home.
Yes, sir. They sure do. Well, the problem is one of the springs popped when I was trying to move it, so I had to kind of put it back where it was. What I'm waiting for now is my tax return to come in so I can go ahead and replace the springs on the trailer. I don't want to try to, however, move it at this point, because if I'm in an intersection with that thing and the springs collapse and that thing falls over, I'm liable for tens of thousands of dollars at that point, cranes, semi-trucks to try to get it out of the road.
Yeah, he says March 2, 2011. What are you asking for?
If I can get my taxes come back by then, the boat will be gone. So I'm looking for probably, I'd say, 60 days maximum. I'm just waiting for my taxes to come back in so I can change out the lease brands. I don't have the cash presently. I'm actually struggling to just keep my house out of foreclosure.
Okay, where are you moving this thing to?
A friend of mine, Donnie's house over on Big Tree, right next to Conrad Yellington. He's got a huge backyard. So I would try to put it in my backyard, but my parcel is kind of like a pie shape, so there's no room to actually get into my backyard. The backyard butts to Clyde Morris, but that's such a dangerous curve there. I mean, there's been several accidents. There's been a death there.
This thing is sitting on a trailer. The trailer's got a busted spring, so you're telling me right now you can't move it even if you wanted to.
Correct. Well, without possibly hurting somebody I don't want to take the chance that thing is going to totally crack in half and then tip over inside of an intersection and, hurt somebody, kill somebody, or, I don't feel as though, it's that big of a deal to warrant, you know, taking that kind of a risk.
Okay, all right, well, I mean, your choices right now are March 2, 2011, or possibly April 6, 2011.
April 6th, sir, and it'll be definitely gone by then.
Be definitely gone. I'm going to write it down. Be definitely gone. So when I'm here in May finding you, I can resort to the be definitely gone. And
yes, sir.
Say okay.
I probably would have gotten my taxes back had the federal government not gone ahead and not had their ducks in order this year, submitting the tax changes to the accountants so they could have already filed everything. I'm sure you're aware of that.
I'm sorry, I'm too busy writing down be definitely gone right here.
Oh, that's fine.
Sure, don't forget.
Can
that.
I get the address of where it's going in Big Tree? Because that's my area too, and I don't want to get complaints from the neighbors over there.
Well, it shouldn't have an issue with it. I actually don't know his
that's
exact
that's why
address.
I want to check. You know, I don't want
of
it to
course
be an
you
issue.
Need to move it someplace where you can't keep it. Can't, for example, just put it in another buddy's backyard. You know, you can't store things in front yards for sure. I mean, I don't know what the rules are, but you ought to look into it before you move there.
Okay.
Or else you're just going to find yourself back here again. All right.
You familiar with the Elvington's property? On Big Tree? Okay, well, I guess it's...
Well, during the reinspection.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent be in compliance by April 6, 2011, where we return to the special magistrate for consideration of his fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
So that's April
6th. April 6th.
Thank
so
you.
Good luck to you and make it happen.
No problem.
Case number 18 is in compliance. Case number 19 is in compliance. Case number 20, Samuel J. Merrill Jr. Pardon?
Sorry. Too many cases.
It's all right. Not seeing a respondent. What's saying the
city? The property's in non-compliance. We're looking for the next cutoff.
All right. Not seeing a respondent. Having considered our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 21, Jules Xavier Junker.
Non-compliance, next cutoff. No correspondence at all.
Hearing from the respondent, having considered our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. I order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the imposition of the administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 22 is in compliance. Case number 23, George Joseph Nyland Revocable Living Trust, dated 12-22-04.
They are in process, but it's non-compliance and next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the imposition of the administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 24 is in compliance. Case number 25, Olivia Brunson.
Compliance as of 2-3.
Come on up here. I've had you here all morning. You just run you out the door.
I took off for work.
I thought we had to come up. I listened to what you were saying.
All right, so we are now in compliance.
We're in compliance.
The news is you're now in compliance, so you didn't need to come out of here. But
I just want to spend a day with him. I knew we were.
We'll just go to breakfast.
Yeah, all right. Enjoy your breakfast.
What's the day,
baby? 2-3.
All right. That concludes all of our agenda items. Now, under miscellaneous business, I have Charles Winstead and Rebecca Hedrick. apparently we imposed a fine, the administrative fine of $250, and staff requests order vacating the fine.
They have not rented the property. They were allowing neighbors to park in their driveway, which made the Homeowners Association think that they were renting. They were not. It was vacant. He never got notice. He's since changed his address before he got notice. And
based on our inspector's report, I will go ahead and order that the fine lien previously imposed be vacated. All right. Any other business to be brought before this special magistrate? This.
Was there some reporting requirement or something in there for the magistrate?
For the master plan?
Yes.
Yes.
And you already have looking
for it? No. It was. Staff needs to report to the commission the outcome from what Mr. McKittrick told me. So I guess I
doesn't need to do anything.
No. The findings of what happened need to be reported to the commission, from what I understand.
Okay. So, how things go?
Are we adjourned?
Pardon?
Are we adjourned?